Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 9th, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize that, but we are in that time of the end. And that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. And I mean this very seriously. It is getting so evil out there. Just look around you. Lift the veil from your eyes. Please, if you haven't made this choice for Yeshua, make it tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. Phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Now, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on internationally, and live on YouTube and on some FM stations, so please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener bases. Places like where? Munich, Germany, of all places. Tokyo, Japan. Amsterdam, you know, the Netherlands. Sydney, Australia. Stockholm, Sweden. And, of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Tulsa, Oklahoma. Newark, New Jersey, Jacksonville, Florida, Washington, D.C., Las Vegas, Nevada. And these are just to name a few, of course. Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they podcast later tonight. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, my heart is still hurting for this nation to come to repentance, Father. My heart is hurting for the things that are still to come. Father, I ask that you wake up the nation. Wake up your church, Father. Wake them up. Wake up the body of Messiah. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out their ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, is there a grand deception already in play out there? Well, tonight we have Steve Henderson on with us, and he served in the last 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper in a ministry. In the last several years, he's been teaching prophecies. He's also been on this program for, I guess, the last several years. I'd just have to really look it up. His ministry, The Sure Word of Prophecy, has a mission to help believers to understand Bible prophecy, prepare them for the return of Yeshua, and to provide an unarguable presentation to believers that is indeed one who knows the end from the beginning. In his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, and atheists, providing them with the evidence they need to turn them to a saving faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. You can check his website out at surewordprophecy.org. And tonight, his most interesting subject line is, does anybody really know what time it is? Welcome back, Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve?
Greetings and shalom, Pastor Dan. How you been?
Pretty good, pretty good. I love the familiarity of your voice. Glad to have you on with me. And you always have great titles. Does anybody really know what time it is? That reminds me of a song.
Yeah, an old Chicago song. I know how old you are now, brother. In fact, you're about as old as I am, aren't you? 62?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I didn't want to confess that over the radio, but I just did. So,
as a matter of fact, so you're 62 also.
Yeah, I think you were born. You were born
Yep.
And I was born in 55, and I was born in July, and you were born in July, weren't you?
Yeah, really.
Now, you're about 9 or 10 days older than I am, I think. So, anyway, happy early birthday, okay?
Yeah, same to you, brother. Same to you. I just had one. I'm not looking forward to the
next
one.
We're not looking forward to it. Yeah, no, not so soon.
Yeah, I'll take it as for my last birthday. You know.
Well, brother, it's a joy to be back on again. Always a joy to be with your program, and I just so much enjoy the possibilities of what can happen in one program. As it goes out to the world, as you were sharing there just earlier, I think we really need to understand what time we're living in, especially now, as there seems to be these significant changes in our times that are happening quickly. We're on shifting sand quickly. On a daily basis, somewhere on this rock we call Earth is seeing trouble brewing. And I really believe we have some in-your-face prophetic confirmations that we are indeed in the last days. And I'd like to share a little bit about that this evening, if I could.
Absolutely. And that's going to be exciting. I always love to hear that, those kind of things. Go ahead. You have my ears. Back to you.
Okay, brother. Thank you. You know, any realist that scans the future looking for a bright spot will recognize there isn't a whole bunch to look forward to, with the exception that the things that hold our society together, our family, our friends, and our community of faith. But more than ever, we recognize that we're in the crosshairs of the master of disaster, who's pulling out his fiercest weapons straight from the bottomless pit and pointing them at everything in every direction, killing, stealing, and destroying all those who get in the way that bring this agenda of the whole world down with him. And, you know, we're prime targets of the satanic roaring lion, rapidly running around, devouring all in his path. But, you know, I'm not a fatalist, and it's not all bad. We're not without hope in this entire scenario, brother, are we?
No.
You know, there's strength in unity. There's wisdom in the multitude of counselors, and that's why we're admonished to stay in fellowship, especially much more as we see the day of Yeshua approaching. And we need to get together and pray that your circle will not be unbroken. And, you know, if we understand the word that says we could be more than conquerors through him that loved us, and he shed his blood and bought us with a great price, if Yahweh did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us freely, we have nothing to fear, do we, brother?
Not at all.
And if Jehovah is for us, who can be against us? So with that in mind, I want to give a little spark of light there, because what I have to share with you is troubling. And so I want to get a good push of a optimistic view of where we stand, because the Almighty created you and says, fear not, I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name, you're mine. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. And one day, brother, this planet full of physical maladies, mental illness, sorrow, war, tribulation, anguish, hurricanes, the storms that are tearing places up, none of these words will be familiar with us anymore. The swords will be turned into plowshares. And now, I guess we understand, brother, that we ought to be praying for the kingdom to come. You know, he gave a model for his disciples. He said, hallowed is your name, your kingdom to come. And I'm wondering if we are all praying for his kingdom to come. But that is the ultimate news, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, sadly, I've heard people that claim to be saved, and I said to them, you know, the time we're in, you know, he's coming soon. Oh, I hope he don't come yet. I still want to see my grandchildren grown. Really?
Oh, they don't understand, do they, brother? See, no. His coming is the only sovereign solution we have to escape all this brewing anger and tumultuous days on this uninjured earth that's ahead of us. And so we just need to hang tough and recognize that one day we win, brother, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so I'm done with the pep talk. Now, if you allow me, Pastor Dan, I'm going to share with you three distinctive prophetic signs that are so obvious, or maybe I should add, at least to those who are alert and prophetically informed, that we are rapidly heading toward a day of the Savior's arrival. So I want to consider the prophecies, three of them, and try to determine by the headlines whether or not we can determine just exactly what time it is and where we are at in all of this. So the first prophecy I'd like to ponder this evening, Pastor Dan, is found in a statement that Yeshua gave, and he says this, because lawless will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now, there isn't any room here to misinterpret this prophecy. It clearly foretells of a day just before his return that the love of many will wax cold, affected by the absolute disregard for law and order. And the issue is the disregard of law, of the lawlessness. And I'm sure that most of us by now all sit in shock and anguish and mourning for the small community of Sutherland Springs, Texas, and the Baptist Church, which suffered such great loss and sorrow. And I'm not going to play back the details, but I'm sure most are aware that 26 were murdered in this absurd, psychotic rampage. And, you know, as troubling as this senseless massacre was, a church of all locations, additional insult and injury were added to the righteous folks who called out for prayer for the family members and for the community who were left behind. And then suddenly, come to the forefront of this crisis, brother, is an Antichrist society, the leaders that we find that were murmuring against those who were calling out for prayer in the open. You know, as well-intentioned Americans prayed for those who had just been gunned down while worshiping God, gun control advocates and governmental secularists are bashing them for expressing their faith. And, you know, why would anyone have a problem with asking for prayer for a church and family members who just lost 8 kids in a senseless massacre? You know, this is just cold-blooded. And we can see that the love of many is waxing very cold here. Amen?
Yeah, amen. And I believe that those people are suffering from a sickness, and it's called lack of Yeshua. Back to you.
Yes, absolutely. You know, brother, it's one thing to hold strong opinions about gun control, but it's entirely different to direct anger towards people of faith after such a horrific tragedy. You know, just because you might not believe in prayer doesn't give you the right to publicly insult those who do. And in some ways, this outrage against prayer is emblematic of a worldwide trend that we see growing. And as America grows increasingly hostile to Christianity, which it is, inappropriate and hostile rhetoric regarding expressions of faith are becoming more acceptable. And it seems that the same people who pride themselves on advocating religious and cultural tolerance are the least tolerant when it comes to American Christians. And it's a trend that is coming to the forefront, not only in America, but all over the world. And we know that persecution of believers is happening worldwide. And I'm very, very troubled by it. So we see very many, the love of many are waxing cold. Let's move to New York City for a moment. Just a week ago, a deranged Islamic jihadist here in America drove a rented truck down a crowded bike path near the World Trade Center, right where the 9/11 thing had happened, and crushed and struck cyclists and pedestrians. And I tell you what, brother, you know, you turn on the news, and just about on a weekly basis, you find some type of massacre or some type of a psychotic event that brings great, great sorrow. One group from Argentina was on that path that day, brother, and travel thousands of miles for a once-in-a-lifetime trip to celebrate their 30th anniversary of their high school graduation. I understand 5 out of those 8 Argentinians who met that day died on that path. And in addition to those killed, about a dozen were hurt. You know, you go to church, you get on a bike trail, and all of a sudden someone has a bad day or is driven by their insane religious conviction to suddenly go ballistic and kill, maim, and decapitate our fellow sojourners. Yeah, and they're all around us. They're here, and they are as cold and wax as cold as an icicle. And the sacredness of life is held in contempt, and murderous wretches are going around thinking they are doing God a favor by strapping bombs on themselves and killing people, and so they could obtain the reward of being in heaven with 72 virgins. How twisted can that be, brother?
Just complete. It's completely twisted. And, you know, it was just like Frank. I mean, the last program that I had on with Frank, I said, well, you want to talk with me today? And he said, well, he said, what do you want to talk about? And it was like, okay, there's so much. Everywhere you look, it's one after another. And it's sickness. It's terrible.
It's a demonic spirit that is. I believe there's an unrestraining taking place here. I believe America has been blessed by the hand of Yahweh because we had one time had put him first. But now that we put him in the background and we're changing his laws around and we're endorsing homosexual marriages and we're doing all of these things, I believe his spirit of protection is being withdrawn from this country and all over the world. Speaking of twisted, just a month ago, that lunatic that began shooting at that music festival on the Las Vegas Strip which killed, what, 58 people and wounded 500 others? That guy was shooting out of a hotel room on the Las Vegas Strip, and it killed everyone there, about 58, I think, was the total. And there's a guy there by the name of Jack Beaton who was celebrating his 23rd wedding anniversary with his wife, Lori, when the gunfire started. Jack told his wife to get on the ground and draped his body over hers to protect her, and then he was hit and bled out profusely, but he had enough time to tell her that he loved her. He said, "I love you, too." She said to him, "I'll see you in heaven," and they died, and the couple had two children. You know, every day we live in a world of uncertainty, and Scripture says that in the last days, perilous and dangerous times will come. And I believe that that we are looking at and staring at the face of a cold-blooded bunch of people that are intent and bound on making this nothing but a big war zone and a path of annihilation. So I'm not trying to be hard here, but I'm a realist. And you look at headlines, according to ABC affiliate out of Arizona, just a couple days ago, brother, there's an article that says 300 mass shootings have occurred in the U.S. So far in 2017. Does anyone really know what time it is? You know, we'll probably be seeing the odds makers, brother, in Vegas someday speculating what the chances will be on how many will go into public events and be there without being terrorized. What do you think?
That's shocking. You know why I knew there was a lot? 300 for...
That's 307 just, that's mass shootings.
307.
In America so far in 2017,
that,
yes.
That's just beyond belief, you know. And that's terrorism at work, so to speak, to stop you from going anywhere. But that's just horrific.
Yes, it is. You know, and it happens so much that we hardly pay attention to it anymore, you know. So it happens all around us. And it's just phenomenal. You know, you go to any urban area and hang out for a day and listen to news. You know, I worked, brother, in Tulsa, in the heart of Tulsa. And one day in my office, I received a call from a mother who needed an attorney for her son. And her son was a 16-year-old boy who went on a maniacal spree that included the murder of a Broken Arrow school teacher who died fighting to protect his family when he broke in his home, and included a rape of an 81-year-old woman. And as this mother is talking to me on the phone, I'm looking up the cases, and he had 22 felonies racked up in a three-day period, including several robberies. And unfortunately, I was acquainted with this teacher who died. He joined me in a men's group one meeting on a Sabbath morning, so full of life and such a kind man. Yes, we're living in perilous times, brother. And I just think that that if we get our head out of the sand and look out, we see headlines all over, not just America, but in the world. And you think it's bad in America, you ought to go to other parts of the world where massacres happen on a daily basis. And here's a couple I pulled out from the recent news this last week. In Syria, children among 75 displaced persons slaughtered by a jihad suicide bomber, and 140 were injured, many critically. In Uganda, 23 women have been murdered in several towns. Police blame witchcraft. Now, you know, it's pretty obvious what's going on here and who's behind it all. How about in Somalia? 358 were murdered and 429 injured when the religious radicals detonate two suicide truck bombs in a commercial district. And, brother, we could go on and on and on. But because of the lawless mindset today, murder spirits are being unleashed in our world, unrestrained, and something much larger is rising on the immediate horizon. What do you think, brother?
Boy, you're absolutely right. By the way, I got to tell the folks something. I sent a thing called a mass shooting tracker for the United States over to our pastor page so you would have a link. And, Steve, you know what? I seen that article that I think that you drew that off of, 307, right? Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah.
This tracker lists every place in the United States, and it's bigger than that. It's 378.
My goodness. Well, I was underestimating. Yes. At least this article was that I read. Wow, my goodness.
Wow.
You know, that's horrendous.
That's horrendous. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
It brings me to the second prophetic distinctive that I'm going to mention tonight. And Pastor Dan, do you ever remember a time when you heard so many threats and rumors of war out in the open all at one time? Have you ever remember in your life? I know I'm the same age you are, and I have never heard anything of the liking. If you have your ears open, not only do we hear of wars that could break out and be loosened at any minute, but across the earth there are a lot that are already in war, and we understand that there'll be a lot of talk at the end, and some of it will lead to full blown out confrontation. And we've been alerted that this would indeed happen, and it'd be a prevailing reality in the last days. And here it is in Mark 13, 7 and 8. We're forewarned, brother. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. We're all real familiar with these passages of Scripture. But let's stand and look honest at the news. Let's look at evidence in yesterday's news. Remember, I'm sure you saw when President Trump, I think he just did a bang-up job in his speech with South Korea in the parliament there. And as he was standing near the front line of the world's tensest standoff, he issued a direct and personal warning to North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, declaring in his first major speech in Asia that this nuclear provocation could result in the communist nation's obliteration. That's what he said. And he said the world cannot tolerate the menace of a rogue regime that threatens with nuclear devastation. The weapons you are acquiring are not making you safer. They are putting you and your regime in grave danger. Every step you take down this dark path, he says, will increase the peril you face. And I'm telling you, brother, it's not a matter of if, it's when. I'm wondering who's going to throw the first punch here. But then North Korea responds, and in an article yesterday's Newsweek, it says North Korea tells Europe to relax as Kim's nuclear missiles target only U.S. In this article, it says North Korea fired back after President Trump's aggressive speech from now South Korea, and the U.S. had better make a decisive choice, he says, if it does not want a horrible nuclear disaster and tragic doom. The United States faces an abyss of doom unless it ousts the lunatic old man from the White House and withdraws its hostile policy, Kim Jong-un's regime said in this statement. Well,
Okay, let's break in. We've got a minute before break. Please give your website where you can find your great videos, and we'll go to break.
Absolutely. It's surewordprophecy.org. And keep on my prophetic news. A lot of these things I mentioned tonight will be on there. I keep an eye open for things, so I'll keep you informed.
All right, folks, go over there and check it out. He's got some great videos over there. He does a lot of work on them, and they are good. They will inform you. And share it with other people, folks, because time is short, and it is the time we're living in. And guess what? It's going to get worse before it gets better. We'll be back in 3 minutes. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. First thing I'm going to ask you folks to do, I'm going to ask you to do something that I try to do for you. I'm going to ask you to pray for the Wichita Mission Church. Just lift us in prayer. Pray for not only our safety, but pray that all the needs are met. Now we'll talk. Anyway, first I want to point out to you folks that it was just announced that Wichita, Kansas was the most dangerous city in Kansas, a title that has mostly always been held by Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, so to speak. But anyway, so yes, we are helping people, and not we're helping the homeless and poor, but we're not only just helping Let's go with that. People always wanted to stay homeless. Well, and there's nothing wrong with if the father just had me helping homeless, then I wouldn't have a bit of problem with it at all whatsoever. But we're also helping poor people. You know, people that can barely put a roof over their heads because, you know, the economy still hasn't got back to where it was, you know. I know that because, you know, while we see the stock market going up and it looks like rich people are getting richer and people that own stocks, well, that's great and everything. But, you know, most working class citizens are still living paycheck to paycheck. And these are actually the people that support us. So we do need your help. Pray for us. It only takes a couple of people to change things. Now, let's move on. Thanksgiving's coming up. And, you know, we really love Thanksgiving. It's the busiest day. Well, 2 days of the year at the Wichita Mission Church. We'll serve dinner on Thursday. And it'll be in the afternoon, of course. And people get to go through a line and pick out all kinds of wonderful things. That is, we'll get to pick out all kinds of wonderful things if we have everything that we need. This is our 18th Thanksgiving with the people. And yeah, we love the holiday. If I wasn't doing it there, we'd be the biggest day of the year. Well, it wouldn't be the biggest day of the year because we do the feast, but it would be a big day of the year for us. We would invite family and things over as we used to do before we started the Wichita Mission Church. But we choose to give the homeless and poor a family Thanksgiving. And again, we do it 2 days. We do it on Thursday, which is Thanksgiving, and then we do it again. My wife goes ahead and does it again on Friday so that, you know, she can get rid of the extra turkeys and everything, but she wants to do it. So we went through normally 19, 20 turkeys or so. Well, we haven't gotten near what we need yet. So pray about it. We need you folks to support us in what we're doing. Pray about it. Also ask for you to pray about ready wear time. And remember, we are responsible to care one for another, as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps greatly. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. Now, if you don't wish to help with the poor, really consider a donation for ready wear time, as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. Prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Steve Henderson. Are you still with us, Steve?
I'm here, my brother. And just to always appreciate your lifting up the poor and the afflicted. That's what it's all about, man. And, you know, I aspire every day to be a day of Thanksgiving when I get up pain-free, you know. But that, there is a special time of year when we can sure point to the Father, whom all the good and perfect things come from Him. And so it's a great opportunity for us to witness to the God who is a God that we should be thankful to. And good work for you, brother. I appreciate you.
Amen.
Okay, so we're going to point out three prophetic markers. The first one was being that there would be a day before the Yeshua returned that lawlessness would abound and the love of many would grow cold. And we've used just a few examples there among thousands that we could list, which go until midnight. Second marker was at some point in time we begin to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but we would not be troubled about that because the end is not yet, for the nations will begin to rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. And so the second obvious in-your-face sign that I want to deal with for a few moments would be the issue of war and a talk of war. And we, just before break, talked about the war rhetoric, which is really ramping up between North Korea and the United States. In fact, I think that Trump is kind of setting the stage over there to try to get some people around him, because if I don't know any better, I'd say someone's going to throw a punch here pretty quick. And if not, I would be very, very surprised. But I think it's only the hand of Yahweh that's keeping this thing in order, because at some point in time, it's going to be unleashed. And whether it be North Korea or whether it be some other country, and we could go on and on about the war talk and the threats back and forth with many, many nations. You know, we have issues with China, and I'm amazed to see Trump and the president of China be buddies in such a tense situation between the two over the South Pacific Islands and that what's going on there. And of course, you have the Middle Eastern countries that are barking back and forth at one another, and we'll deal with that here in a second. But I was wanting to do some research, brother, concerning the list of ongoing conflicts and wars around the globe, and here are some eye-opening facts that was just updated a little over a week ago. And we find the following enumerations. In Africa, the conflicts that are taking place are in 29 countries, and there are 239 groups consisting of militias, guerrillas, terrorists, separatists, and anarchic groups. And some of the hot spots they highlighted was the Central African Republic, where there are often armed clashes between the Muslims and Christians, the Democratic Republic of Congo, where there's wars against the rebel groups there, Egypt, war against Islamic militants, Libya, civil war, Mali, clashes between the army and rebel groups, Mozambique, the clashes with the Renamo rebels, Nigeria with what's going on there with Al-Shabaab, along with Somalia, Sudan, South Sudan. And on top of that, 20 million are on the verge of starvation because of war. And on the end of that statement that Yeshua made of the wars, rumors of wars, be not troubled yet, for nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And then there will be famine, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Well, the results, as you're finding in Yemen, because of that terrible war, there's people starving to death over there. They have a significant famine and cholera outbreak. It's sweeping the country. I don't know if they've got it under control now yet, but it was really terrible. But we find in Africa alone 29 countries. How about Asia? 16 countries and 171 armed militias, guerrillas, terrorists, separatists, and anarchic groups involved here. Hotspots, of course, Afghanistan with the Islamic militants, Burma and Myanmar, the war against the rebel groups, Pakistan with the Islamic militants, Philippines, also Thailand and others are going through significant wars within their own countries. How about Europe? 10 countries and 81 armed groups, of course, Chechnya, Dagestan, Ukraine, Nagorno-Karabakh, the Azerbaijan army against the Armenian armies. There's many to be listed here, and I don't, you know, we could just go on and name them out one by one. But I'm just trying to give you a brief synopsis of the armed conflicts and the groups that are going around terrorizing as we speak. In the Middle East, of course, the one we most think of, it lists 7 countries and 253 rebel groups between militias, guerrillas, and terrorists and separatists and these type groups involved. And, of course, the hot spots, as we're well aware, Iraq and Syria, Yemen, and along with a host of threats going back and forth all over that those countries over there. This is not an exhausted list. It's just kind of a highlight that we are finding ourselves in a world that's more insecure and more war-monging and more likely to step out your door one day and have some militant come and execute you in front of your family. And this is a present reality, and not only in other countries, but now in our country, as we've demonstrated here earlier in the program. This doesn't include the Americas, of course. The Mexicans are having a serious battle with some of the groups down there that are drug dealers, and war within a war. The things are going on in Venezuela and other places. The Americas, of course, they have their finger in all kinds of conflicts, including Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan, and you know they're the world's policemen. So, you know, it's very evident to me, brother, that we are in the middle of a world that's full of war, and some are getting larger as we speak.
Yeah, absolutely. The whole world, it's just like I always say at the first of the program, Steve, most people don't get it, but the world is in great turmoil. We've never seen a turmoil like this. If they just really just lift the veil from their eyes for a moment, I've never seen headlines like this. Listen, brother, I've been a mail-out newsletter for over 22 years, prophetic things, and it used to be a lot of work to find things that you could connect with Bible prophecy. Now, they're overwhelming. I don't have enough room in a mail-out newsletter to put them all.
Yeah, you know, I try to keep up on this website of keeping people informed with the news, and I about wear myself out. You know, there's just so much to be able to put on there. I just don't have enough time in a day with everything else going on. But which brings me to the third point, brother. Let me get into this, because this is the one I really wanted to highlight, because it's one that I think, and I'm sure that a lot of your listeners remember back to 2013. I looked back when I exposited those on your program about Daniel 8. And, you know, if you're right in your assessment of prophecy, then you won't see that fade away, but you'll see it get larger and larger. And for 30 years, I have been looking at these prophecies of Daniel, and I noted a long time ago that there are specific players that are mentioned in this prophecy of Daniel 8. And I believe that we are facing this time, this vision, this end time vision that Daniel spoke of, and detailing the coming war that brings Iran, Israel, and the West to a showdown. And back several years ago, I know I expressed my concern with this end time vision that's been overlooked and understudied. And I shared at that time quite a bit of detail about the visions for this time here, I'll just give a brief synopsis of the vision, and then I want to examine some evidence in your face as we speak. In Daniel 8, this vision is at the third year of Belshazzar, and Daniel sees a ram standing in a certain geographical location in between Iran and Iraq at the Ulaib, or the modern-day Karun River. And at some point in time, this ram begins to get real aggressive, and it begins to push. That means it's taking territory. It's going westward, northward, and southward, and he did according to his will and became pretty large. And this ram brings on the attention of a goat that comes across from the west, across the surface of the whole earth. The prophet sees him come across the sky and the air, and the goat has a notable or large horn between his eyes. The goat came to the ram and ran at the ram with furious power. So something that this ram is doing brings on a great anger from the goat from across the surface of the whole earth from the west, with a great nation leading the way. And a confrontation ensues, and this goat is very angry, and he's moved with rage against him, and he attacks the ram and breaks down both his horns and leaves him powerless. And no one could help the ram in this endeavor. And the goat gets a big head, it gets real great, and then when it gets strong, the prophet sees the large horn breaking. And when Gabriel came to give the interpretation of Daniel, he said right away, "Daniel, I want you to understand, this is a vision that refers to the time of the end." And then he says that the ram which you saw are the kings of the Medes and Persians. Now, it would be appropriate, you know, for you to go ahead and assign that back to the before Christ, before Yeshua, back in 320 B.C., like many have exposited. But when you begin to put the pieces together and look at the historical parts of it, you recognize that it does not fit the historical narrative that Gabriel puts it at the end of time on. And so we look for this conflict to start, because this is the catalyst or the beginning war that brings the rest of the world into submission to the beast. And this is how I understand it. And I understand that there are some prophecy enthusiasts now that are looking at that and beginning to see that there's probably another interpretation of this that we have not grabbed a hold of. But it's my understanding that at the time of the end, Daniel would become unsealed, and the words of the book would increase, and we'd see the very players that come jumping out of the book at us, and then we'd look at the world events, and we'd say, "Oh, I think I understand now." So yesterday's news, we're looking for Iran to get the news, and that's what I was looking for since 1989, and Iraq and Iran to begin to get the news, and of course, we can really start to see the pages turning quickly once the powers from the West came across the surface of the earth and hit Iraq and drove Saddam Hussein into hiding. And then when the United States finally left Iraq, then Iran took over, and then took over in the vacuum. And now we have a united front of Iraq and Iran and a Shia leadership in Iraq. And that would have to happen in order for this prophecy to become fulfilled, which means there'd be two horns, one higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Now, they are now together, and they have stretched their tentacles across Iraq into Syria, and now Iran has planted itself into Syria, and there are some very, very significant things taking place, which most people really don't pay too much attention to, and so I want to highlight that if you let me do that, brother.
Go right ahead.
Here in the yesterday's news, Iran is ready to attack Israel. Now, keep in mind, these prophecies that happened back in the Jewish book and the prophecies of the Israeli prophets pertain, these players have something to do with something that's going to take place with the land of Israel. And in the news, Iran is ready to attack Israel. From Huffington Post, it exclaims, Hossein Salami, and if I had a name like Salami, I think I'd change it to Baloney. What do you think? But anyway, Deputy Commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps recently said, Hezbollah has 100,000 missiles that are ready to hit Israel to liberate the occupied Palestinian territories if the Zionist regime repeats its past mistakes. And he added, today, the grounds for the annihilation and collapse of the Zionist regime are present more than ever. Salami warned that if Israel made the wrong move, it would come under attack. And a few weeks ago, a senior advisor to the elite Quds force said that Iran could destroy Israel in less than 8 minutes if the Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei gave the order. Now, we need to be aware that there are some things brewing on the horizon with Iran and with what they're doing. And that prophecy that we just heard about, it said very clearly that he would start pushing and get aggressive and then begin to take dominate territory. That's how I look at it. And it, as we speak, just here 3 days ago, President Netanyahu of Israel was in a Balfour Declaration commemoration, and he made a first mention of Israel's military concerns because Iran wants to send aerial forces, military divisions, and vessels into the region, and including submarines to be docked at the Mediterranean. And with the other things in mind, that the Ayatollah has out in the open time and time and time again, even up to last week, is talking about destroying Israel. And now there's something going on here that's being developed over there in that area that we need to be paying very close attention to, and we really ought to be in the book of Daniel looking at Daniel chapter 8, because this is a war that brings down the great nation. And you can go ahead and put it. Yes.
Iran, or, you know, Persia, you know, Iran,
yes.
They're the bases in Syria and the places that ISIS have retreated from. They are rebuilding the bases, and they are putting their bases in those places. There is,
yes,
a major move, and I know you probably know this, but there's a major, major move, folks, to Iran taking control and preparing for war with Israel. And, in fact, some of the highest Iraqi soldiers, you know, or commanders are actually wearing Iranian uniforms. So grasp all that. Back to you.
Absolutely. You know, it's high time that we begin to get into prophecies of Daniel, because I believe it speaks very clearly about our day. And we're on the very precipice of this happening, brother. I don't think it's going to be too much longer. I'm not putting down dates and times, but I will tell you this. It is brewing. And a recent article, yesterday's article from the Gatestone Institute, it's entitled The Iran-Hamas-Hezbollah Connection. And in this particular article, it says that indications show that Iran and Hezbollah are planning to extend their control to the Gaza Strip. Now, what's happened, of course, we recognize that Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran, and in fact, the Lebanese president just resigned, and guess who's filling the vacuum? Iran has already planted itself in Syria and is starting to develop a military base, along with the Russian bear that's also in backing up the Assad regime, and they are really gaining a stronghold, and now they're planning to get over to the Gaza Strip, which, of course, we know that Hamas is the primary mover and shaker over there, and Hamas has been aided by Iran with financial and military aid for about the last 10 years, And it's a well-known fact. When we gave Iran $150 billion to try to keep them from doing a nuclear weapon deal, you know, they would take that money and finance terrorist groups around for the whole sole intent to destroy Israel. They are over there, brother, shouting death to Israel and death to America. You know, every week they show them people shaking their fists at the great Satan and the little Satan. Well, Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, another terror group in the Gaza Strip who are Palestinian-controlled, are digging tunnels underneath into the borders of Israel, and Iran is financing that. The alliance between Hamas and Hezbollah is a direct result of renewed relations between Iran and Hamas. And with the help of Hezbollah, Iran has managed to take control of parts of Syria. With the help of Hezbollah, Iran is controlling Lebanon now. And now the Iranians have sole control over Lebanon, and their eyes are set on the Gaza Strip, and that's, you know where that is. And without stopping Iran and Hezbollah from spreading their influence to control the Gaza Strip, the prospects of peace seem rather dim. And so a couple days ago, an article from the Global Research Center says Israel begins largest ever aerial military drill as Saudis consider missile strike allegedly by Iran as an act of war. You see, they're implanted in Yemen, too, and they are throwing and lobbying. Syria and Yemen have really been in a serious battle. And now what is really odd about it is Saudi Arabia seems to be lining up with Israel against Iran, and they're talking about having the prerogative to strike Iran because of their wanting to take over the Middle East and out of self-preservation. So today, Israel kicked off the largest international aerial training exercise, coined Blue Flag. And the air forces from 9 countries with 50 planes are now starting to drill in the southern region of the country, in Israel. And teams from India, the United States, Greece, Poland, France, Italy, Germany will be flying over 300 sorties simulating real war. What do you think is going on here? They know it's taking place. They know what's about to happen, and they are starting to do drills over there to prepare. And Netanyahu is speaking very, very strong language against the Iranians and warning them: if you make one move toward us, we will exercise our right to defend ourselves. And it's not going to be good, brother.
Well, look at this. You know, here, real quick, like, sure. And I want to remind the folks of this. This is very important, and you're going to see a lot more come of this. I just don't want to speak of it tonight, not enough time. But yeah, Saudi Arabia has made alliance with Israel to help fight against Iran. Absolutely, and that's just recent. And part of that was by shaking it up, and they just took out a whole bunch of princes, so to speak, that were against it. And so Saudi Arabia and Israel are teaming together to get ready to fight this war right as we speak. Back to you.
Yes, according to the prophecy, the ram will begin to push, and no one will be able to stop this ram. But the only thing that can stop it is this goat from the west with this great horn coming across the surface of the whole earth from the west, and it comes down and it confronts this ram with great fury. So what I recognize is something that this ram is going to do is going to really bring down the wrath of the west on Iran and its proxies. And I just have a feeling, and as you're probably aware, brother, not long ago, Iran had made a mock-up temple mount, the Al-Aqsa or the Dome of the Rock,
right.
And they put all kinds of brigades over there and did a mock war to seize the temple mount. And it's all about, when you want to bring it down to its lowest common denominator, it's about getting Israel out of Jerusalem. And bringing and ushering in the Palestinians to their capital, which they want to make Jerusalem. And it's about that. And it's about the Jews lording over. You know, it's a punch in the eye when you have Islamic people who say everyone has to be subjugated underneath the authority of Sharia and Islamic law, but you have a democratic society in the middle of a sea of Islamic psychopaths that are hell bent to take you out so they can enforce. Their complete Sharia law across the Middle East, and that's what Iran plans on doing. Now, okay, one other article
stop.
I want to share.
You don't have enough time. We got okay. less than a minute before we. I got to get you out of here. Not rid of you, but out of here. So
okay.
tell them where that. I don't know where that come from. Anyway, tell them where your website is, and I really appreciate you being on, and we'll do it again.
Okay, Pastor Dan, I appreciate you. This SurewordProphecy.org, and so be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and put on the whole armor of God to be able to stand in an evil day. Haven't done all the sin in Yeshua's name. Love you.
Amen. All right. You be blessed. Goodbye and shalom, brother. All right, folks, that was Steve Henderson, SureWordProphecy.org, and he's really right about those times. Do I believe that America is a little horn? Not necessarily, but I do believe that we're headed for a conflict with them. I do believe Iran is rising up. They're also making amends with Turkey. Go to Joel Richardson's blog and check out things also. But we got to get out of here. Pray about a donation tonight. We really do need your help to stay on the air and to do Thanksgiving. But remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember what? Always be a blessing to others. How can you have the Holy Spirit within you and not be a blessing to others? Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, You would bless and keep them, and that Your face would shine upon them, and that You would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time to Messiah's Branch.